Bible, please. Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. And we continue in chapter 4, and we arrive this morning at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. We've said this on many occasions because for such a short, small letter, a letter that comes from prison, although a hired house, but Paul is not free. He is imprisoned awaiting his possible death. It eventually will take place in Rome. But while chained, 24/7, he brings forth a letter of great joy. 19 times in this little epistle. Joy, gladness, rejoice is set forth. It's the word in the Greek. Chiro. This word joy or rejoicing is found in the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, 155 times. So, of those 155 times in this little epistle, 19 times, joy, gladness, rejoice. In the Hebrew, Shema. Both Greek and Hebrew are the expressing of the feeling of overwhelming jubilation. Expressing of the feeling of overwhelming jubilation. Now saying that, the difference between a Bible teaching church and what is commonly referred to as a charismatic church, Church of God, Assemblies of God, Pentecostal, any church that places an emphasis on the Spirit working in bringing forth feelings about God. The charismatic movement is built on subjective experience, how one feels. And the whole structure of their worship and their teaching is about how you feel. You should be feeling good. Nothing wrong with feelings because rejoice, be glad, have joy in your heart is very biblical. The difference is that the charismatic movement emphasizes experiencing and knowing God through your feelings. That's subjective. It's that which is never the same. Because feelings are very subjective. They move around. That's how God's made us. But the charismatic movement says you experience and know God through feelings. We believe we know God and we experience God objectively through His divine revelation. It's not how I feel that allows me to experience and know Him. It's what He has revealed that I believe in. And when that happens, we express through our feelings who God is and our experiencing of Him. So our relationship to Him is not predicated upon a subjective, emotional feeling. It is predicated on the objective revelation of the truth that God has revealed in His Word, then expressed through our feelings. Rejoice in the Lord. Always. Certain expressions in the Scripture can evoke certain emotional experiences. Rejoice always. Always? Yeah, that word simply means in every occasion. Continually. Forever. It should be the continual expressing of the jubilation, the overwhelming joy that we have in Him because of who He is. And because of what He's done. Rejoice. Forever. Again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation, some translations, gentleness, other translations, have my New King James here is saying, let your gentleness be known to all men. What is fitting? What is not in any way out of place? It's not to let our behavior be overwhelmed by our emotions. Or anything else. Let your gentleness, what is in fact proper, what is in fact fitting the occasion of worship by rejoicing in Him, expressing that dynamically? Oh yes. Going back to the book of Psalms, we mentioned that rejoicing. Is the expressing of our feeling of overwhelming jubilation. Psalm chapter 5. I'm reading from verse 11. But let all of those rejoice, Samoth, who put their trust in You. Let them ever shout. That's how certain individuals, not to be mentioned, but have the office of president, speak sometimes. They shout. I want to try to get you. Shout! This is an expression. This is a feeling overwhelming of joy that is to be let go. But it's always tempered by what is fitting. There's no reason why we can't properly lift hands to the Lord and shout hallelujah. But when that is what is the only way I know or believe I know and experience God through my emotions, we're not doing what the Scriptures teach. I know Him because He's revealed Himself, the Scriptures, the person of Christ. And knowing Him so perfectly, so intimately, it overwhelms us with jubilation so that we shout! It's not bad to shout hallelujah once in a while. Not bad to shout amen. Nothing wrong with those things. our whole life ought to be tempered in a way that what we show in our living is that which is in keeping with the way we worship as well. Not extremes, not that which is out of control. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous with grace, favor. You will surround him with a shield. See, rejoicing in the Lord is rejoicing because of who he is and what he has done and is doing and is yet to do. Psalm 33, verse 1. Psalm 33, verse 1. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise from the upright is beautiful. See, Paul warned against, if anyone comes into your assembly and the abuse of the spiritual gifts are evident, chaos, confusion, they're going to say, these people are nuts. I'm out of here. But if, in fact, there is the rejoicing in the Lord through him being honored through his word, then there will be an attraction that will draw because it's a spiritual attraction, not an emotional attraction. We have churches today would not consider themselves charismatic, but they're all into the feelings. Entertainment. You come to church to feel good. You leave possibly feeling good. But guess what? There's a wicked world we live in. And so, the Spirit of God has to give us in rejoicing peace. Rejoice. Look at verse 20 of Psalm 33. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name, who he has revealed himself to be. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us, just as we hope in you. To know God as a God in whom we can trust because he is faithful. How do I know that? He's revealed that in his word. A God who I can rejoice in. Why? Because he has been merciful and continues to be merciful. How do I know that? He's revealed that in his word. And that ought to bring about a response. An overwhelming response of jubilation. Rejoice. Our souls wait on the Lord. He is our help, our shield, for our heart shall rejoice in him. Because we have trusted in his holy name. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us, just as we hope in you. Psalm 71. Reading verse 22. Also with the lute, I will praise you. And your faithfulness, O God, to you I will sing with the harp, O Holy One of Israel. With the lute, I will praise you. And your faithfulness, O my God, to you I will sing with the harp, O Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing to you, and my soul, which you have, and my soul, which you have redeemed. It's the song, it's a gospel song called, it's the song of the soul set free, and its melody is ringing. song in our hearts. All of us have different abilities vocally. That's just the way it is. But as long as that song that we're together singing, and you are individually singing, is the song of your soul set free, it's acceptable to God. It is praise and honor and glory to His name. It's a song of a soul set free. Overwhelming. Psalm 98. Reading from verse 4. There's that shout joyfully to the Lord. All the earth, break forth in song. Rejoice. Shema. And sing praises. Sing to the Lord with the harp. With the harp, the sound of the psalm. With trumpets and the sound of a horn. Shout joyfully before the Lord the King. I know this, that true worship comes from the heart. You can't work up true worship. You can't energize it through the flesh. But from the heart, you can have that come down. The praise and honor and glory that belongs to Him is that which we can express back up to Him. Shout! Rejoice! Sing! Because this is what ought to be for those whose souls have been set free, our experience. Always. In every circumstance. Continually. And we're going to do it, so we might as well get doing it now forever. You know, I think heaven's going to be noisy, but we're all going to be able to hear. And it will be very harmonious. Back to Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord. Always. Again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation, your behavior that is fitting, be known to all men. Just flip up to James for a moment. That word that we have, moderation or gentleness, is set in James chapter 3. Beginning at verse 13. James 3:13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct, that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where evil and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle. It's fitting. It's moderate. It's what is acceptable as a conduct, a behavior that is that which is blessing God. It fits. Gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. A wrong emphasis on what it means to rejoice in the Lord is moved not by the Spirit of God coming down, but the flesh working itself up. That is not honoring to God. It is not only not honoring, it is of the world and it is of the devil. We sometimes sort of accept things that the scriptures very strongly speak are not proper, not moderate, not gentle, not fitting. Let your moderation, your gentleness be fitting. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Why? Because the Lord's at hand. Every one of us that know Christ as Savior are an emotional being. And as the Spirit, through the Word of God, allows us to see Him for who He is and what He has done, it evokes emotion toward Him. Rejoice because of who He is and what He's done. And this ought to be our everyday experience, because at any moment He could be here to take us to be with Himself. Not to the earth, to meet us in the clouds. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. The expectation of our glorification is the practical exhortation of our sanctification. I'm looking up. I'm rejoicing in glory. At any moment I'm going to be experiencing with you, and thus with that hope, with that expectation, it exhorts me to live. How? Pure. It's a purifying effect. But if we're not looking up, if we're not rejoicing, we get caught up with what's happening here. Our hearts, our minds get attached and overwhelmed by the here and the now. There's no joy in that. There is only what? Anxiety. That's why the next verse is there for a reason. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, be anxious for nothing. Matthew chapter 6, you remember the words of our Lord while He was here on the earth. Recorded the Gospel of Matthew. Verse 25 of chapter 6 of Matthew. Therefore I say to you, I want to suggest something to you. It would be nice for you not to be too concerned. Is that what He said? Do not worry. Remember I said about certain things that are a little to rejoice always? How about that? You know, verse in James that tells us to be thankful for everything. Everything. Give me a break. Everything. Therefore I say to you,
Do
not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father cares for them. That your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Just keep your foot there and move over to the 10th chapter of Matthew, verse 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs of your heads, they're all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are more valuable than many sparrows. Billy Graham, in his crusade on more than one occasion, used the woman who made her fame in motion pictures, one of the first black women to really be featured in films other than the total black films. She was from a very, very difficult, hard background. Little town that's worse than it was when she was born and raised there. Chester, Pennsylvania. Name was Ethel Waters. And in the Billy Graham Crusade, she sang, "Why should my heart be worried? Why should I have any fear? For his eye is on the sparrow. And I know he watches me." No fear. Be anxious for nothing. Verse 28. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek first. Prioritize. Not here and now, it's there and then. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Now, this isn't slot machine theology. There are those who believe if I always sort of do everything I can to please God, he's going to pay me back. See, I put in, pull the handle, the blessing. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Hey, that's a payoff coming. And all these things will be added. That's prosperity theology. That's not Bible. But he knows what we need. He provides what we need. He does that in abundance. And as Paul learned and what he taught in his very next to last letter, I know how to abound. He says it in Philippians as well. I know how to have nothing. But I've learned to be content in what he has provided. And what he has provided is out from his abundance. Child of God is provided for out of the riches of Christ. How rich I am. Since Jesus came my way, forgave my sins, took them all away. I'm rich and I'm content in Him. Do not worry. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. The world sort of slipped in there with the teaching of take one day at a time. Well, that's really biblical, but it's been captured by the world's thinking that, okay, I really can't do much about what's coming next, so just live one day at a time. Now that is biblical. But it's biblical because, and I can experience it because, my faith rests in the one who made yesterday, today, and tomorrow. We are involved in this world. We're here for a purpose. But if we get caught up with, if we get fixed to, and our attention is here and now, anxiety. Anxiety. Fear. But be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. We don't have time to develop all that, but basically it's saying, keep on praying. Pray without ceasing. And when you do that, why worry when you can pray? What happens? The peace of God. Irene. Hostility. No fear of that. It's gone. Harmony. Oneness. Rest. Peace. The peace of God that transcends all common thinking. All earthly thinking. All worldly thinking. World says, I can do this. I'll do it. And when the trouble comes, I'll be aware I need to take each day as it comes. But I have the ability within myself to do what will be beneficial for me. That's what Adam and Eve thought. But the peace of God transcends that thinking. Be anxious for nothing. Everything by prayer. More intense supplication. More intense prayer. Let your request. Casting, Peter says, all your care upon Him. Why? Because He cares for you. His eyes on the sparrow. And I know He watches you and me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, especially in times of trouble. This world is a troubled world. In time of what seems to be total chaos, overwhelming circumstances and situations, there is a peace that you have provided. A peace of God. Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Not a temporary peace, a permanent one. Why? Because he promised to be in us by his Spirit permanently to provide through prayer his peace. Thank you, Lord. We thank you and commend all those today of our fellowship, the Church of Jesus Christ, and what it is experiencing around the world, into your arms of love and peace. And we will praise you now and rejoice in you now and forever. Amen.